I gotta tell you, this is the way to do Daf Yomi. Here I am in the Galil, surrounded by these beautiful vineyards, covered by hanging grapes, olive trees, absolutely not a sound, except for the birds, and my kids working down in the fields. Moshe Ortz down there with Nani. And it's pretty amazing. So I figured I'd share with all you guys, and we'll do today's Daf. It's a good thing, I guess, I didn't have the daf from 7 years ago for some reason. So I'll do it just us together. And today's daf is Daf Yud Aleph in Masechet Makot. And we are holding at the two dots at the Simen. We were in the middle of discussing why it is that the mitzvah was told to Yehoshua when it came to the Ari Mikvat, was told to him Baloshen Kosher, Baloshen Dibur. So yesterday we learned that because it's Divrei Torah, as everything else was essentially in Yanim of Vishah that were given to Nevi'im, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to be Mavdo between the Lashon of the Chiyuv of Torah and the Chiyuvim that were given at the time. But actually, today the Gemara expands on this. Pliki bar Rav Yehuda v'Rabbanan, Chad Amar Mipnei Shishihen. One man, the Yarmah, says the problem was with Yehoshua is that indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at him. And he had taken his good time to be mavdol the Ari Miklat. What he should have done is he should have been mavdol them immediately. It should have been one of the first things that he did. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with him and spoke Baloshen Dibur. V'chad omar, v'shem shel Torah, like Reb Chama Bar Chanina said yesterday. Now, it also says in Yehoshua, V'yichtov Yehoshua t'dvarim ha'ele b'sefer Torat Elohim. Here, too, there was a machlokas. We're going to have now three inyanim that there's a machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda. So here we have Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. This one is Rabbi Yehuda Nechemya. The next one is Rabbi Yehuda Neir. But in any event here, as far as Yehoshua is concerned, there's a machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda Nechemya, what it means when it says at Advarim Ha'ele that Yehoshua wrote down these things in the Sefer Torah Elohim. What exactly does that refer to? The Sefer Torah Elohim. What was it that Yehoshua would be the one to write down inside of the Sefer Torah? So one man, the Omar, says, Chadomer, it's referring to the last eight psukim that describe the death of Moshe. So it's the Shemona psukim, which we know is a machloket, whether Moshe katvan ben Yama, or whether Yehoshua katvan. So Chadomer, the other man, the Omar, says that what it refers to is the Ari Miklat. So, Bishlem, the Mandi Yomashmona Psukim, I understand that the eight Psukim would be written in the Sefer Torah Elohim, but if you're talking about the Din of HaFrashat or HaMiklat, I mean, he wrote that down maybe in his own Sefer, but what would be the point of writing it, my Sefer Torah Elohim? I mean, he didn't write that in the Torah. And so, the Gemara, he comes, Vayichtov Yehoshua B'Sifro, Et Advarim Ha'ele, Yehoshua wrote over in his Sefer, Sefer Yehoshua, these in Yonim, of Ritzicha and the Hafrosha of the Ari Miklat, Haktuvim b'Sefer Torah Elohim, those things that are to be found written in the Sefer Torah. And the other machlokas that we have with Rabbi Yehuda is Sefer Torah Shetfaro b'Pishtan. Suppose you sew the Sefer Torah up using, instead of animal gut or gidim, you used flax, threads. So, pliki bar Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Meir, chadamer kasher, v'chadamer pasur. Machloket over here is whether a sefer can be different than a pair of tefillin. So, if it needs to be like the tefillin, so then it's possible. So, liman yamra pasur. So, if you hold it's possible, it's because it says the chtiv, even though it says this legabe, the mitzvah of tefillin, but it does say liman tiyat torat Hashem beficha. So it needs to be in your mouth. This is part of Ayalacha La'ot Ayadcha L'zikaron Be'inecha. So Liot Beficha means that you need to have a kosher animal that will be used for gidin. Ve'iz kishkol Torah kula letfilin, because you see over here it says Torat Hashem Beficha in the context of tefillin. That means that the Sefer Torah needs to be the same dinim as tefillin. Now, by tefillin, we know that there's Ayalacha La'moshe Misinai, that mat tefillin halacha la Moshe Misinai letofram begidim, and this is something that for sure would pass on the tefillin if they were used threads of pishtan and tefillin. Therefore, anything which is mukash to tefillin, including Torah Hashem, avko lizuto from begidim. So therefore, if you will sew it up at pishtan, it will be possible. The idach, as the Mad Yomer says, it's kosher. He says ki itkash. Where do we compare Torah to tefillin? That's dafkin this din lamanti Torah Hashem beficha, meaning lamutar beficha. In other words, the halacha that the Sefer Torah has to be written on the skins of a kosher animal that would be mutter for you to eat as a species. That part, yes, we do or not from this pasuk in its comparison to tefillin. But the other in yonim lihilchotav, the halachot l'moshe misinai, that define the Sefer Torah and define tefillin are completely different. And lo itkash. We don't make a hekesh in the Torah for the halachot l'moshe misinai. Amar Rav, chazinu l'tefillin devech avivi, I saw l'tefillin in Reb Chiya's. That the Firi b'Kitana, that the tefillin themselves were sewed up with Kitana. Which Lamaisa is shocking, because, I mean, there's nobody that's chaylik on halacha l'moshe misinai, and indeed, there are those who changed the gears over here to the Sifre, not the tefillin devech aviv, the Sifre devech aviv. I saw Sifre Torah that was written, that was sewed up with Pishtan. And indeed, says the Gemara v'latiruch takavate, we don't pass him like Reb Chiya, and indeed, both the Sefer Torah and the Tefillin need to be sewed with animal material. The next piece of our fascinating journey into the sugya of Ir Miklat is, when does a person get to leave an Ir Miklat? We've spoken about what the Ir Miklat are, where they are, what type of cities they are, how it is that a person goes into the Ir Miklat. However, it also is a whole chelik in the Torah to describe ki be'ir miklato yeshev admot hakohen gadol. As it says in the pasuk, person remains in the ir miklat until the death of the kohen gadol. V'acharei mot hakohen gadol yeshuv haratzeach el eretz achuzato. After his death, then the ratzeach goes into the land of his own nachala. Says the Eder Commissioner, when we talk about a kohen gadol, it means echad mashuach b'shem ha'mishcha, ve'echad muluva b'gadim. A kohen gadol does not have to be a kohen gadol who actually was nimshach with the mishicha of the shem ha'mishcha. Even in the time when the kohen gadol became a kohen through meruva b'gadim, where he put on the eight b'gadim of the kohen gadol, and for that matter, it even includes a kohen echad she'avar b'mishichuto, a kohen who now had gotten into the position in order to take the place. He was originally the Skan Kohen, and they made him the Kohen Gadol because the Kohen Gadol became Pasul, or Tame. He wasn't able to do the Aveda. The din is over there that the Skan is made into a Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol, when he's able to do his Aveda, is restored to his original position. So even though the Skan at that point, he's unable to work as a Kohen Gadol, but he has a din of a Kohen Gadol. And therefore, he's machazirin at haratzeach, he will be able to restore the murderer from the Ir Miklat in his death back into his own nachala. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that even a Kohen Mashiach Milchama, when it says a Kohen Gadol, it does not require someone who had even worked or been nimshach to work as a Kohen Gadol, but even the Kohen who went out with the Am to speak to them in wartime, which was the position of Pinchas, and is indeed sanctified with the Shem and HaMishcha for that purpose, he too is called the Kohen Gadol for this purposes, as we'll see why, and he too would be Machazir et HaRotzeach, Lefichach. Therefore, says the Mishnah, because of the fact that the Rotzchim can only go back to their normal life after the death of the Kohen Gadol, the mothers of the Kohen Gadol were a little bit worried about the fact that people would be anticipating their children's death. So, imotehen shekohanim misapkot lehem michyochsut. The mothers of the Kohen Gadols across the generations would always make sure that the people in the Ir Miklat were happy, would give them food, would give them clothing, kedei shelo yitpalalu al b'neihem sheyamutu, in order that they shouldn't pray that the Kohen Gadol should die, to allow them out of the jail that the Miklat represented. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do we know that everything is dependent in the death of these particular types of Kohen Gadol? Omrif Kanad Amakra, we have three psukim that describe the dependency on the death of a Kohen Gadol. Vayeshiv ba ad mot HaKohen Gadol is one. The other is ki b'miklato yeshev ad mot HaKohen Gadol, and the other is acharei mot HaKohen Gadol yeshuv harotzeah. So you see from there that there must be three different types of Kohanim Gadolim. And therefore, we talk about a Kohen Gadol who is currently, was Nimshach, a Kohen Gadol who is currently Merubah Begadim, and a Kohen Gadol who had been at one point, even though he's not being Oved, had been Nimshach to be the Kohen Gadol. Rebbe Yehuda. Where does Rebbe Yehuda, who adds also a Kohen Meshurah Milchama, he says, because there's another pasuk, Lashuv Lashevet Ba'aretz Ad Mot HaKohen. It also says, even though there it's in the context of Veloti Kofer, so you're not allowed to accept money in exchange for Galut, Lanu Selim Miklato, Lashuv Lashevet Ba'aretz Ad Mot HaKohen. So why does it have to once again mention the whole story of Ad Mot HaKohen to tell me that there's another Kohen? The Idach, Rabbanan, who were in Darish day, they say, well, Midaloch Tiv HaGadol, since it doesn't say the Kohen HaGadol, to be marred by another type of Kohen Gadol, it must be Chad Mehanechu. It's referring to the Kohen, the aforementioned, one of the aforementioned Kohenim. Is that coming to add another Kohen? Lamaisa works out very well, Aliba, Rebbe Yehuda, because that's HaKohen, even though he's not the Kohen Gadol, but he's HaKohen HaMiuchad. That Kohen HaMiuchad, the only other Kohen that's Miuchad, is indeed the Mashuach Mechama. Continues the Mishnah, Lefichach Imotahem, Shel Kohanim. So the mothers now are going to try to do their best to prevent their children from getting knocked off by the prayers of these people. So in other words, you're telling me that Taima Delo Matzah, it's only because the only thing that's going to save their life is the fact that these people, oh, there's a big wind out here, I hope it's not disturbing the recorder, that these people did not pray, and that's why the Kohen Gadol didn't die earlier. But had indeed the mothers not diverted that prayer by giving out these gifts, her matzah, then indeed the Kohen would have died? I mean, do we really need to worry about people who have a vested interest and have no business in determining whether the Kohen should die? I mean, doesn't it say, V'achtiv katzipor lanud, gadror lo'uf, kin kilalat chinam lo tavo? Stomp to curse somebody, even if it would be a curse, where it's unjustified. You don't have to worry about such a thing. So if somebody just is upset at somebody else for no reason, and curses them in this way, why is it going to affect them? Why did the Mishnah take seriously this activity of the mothers of the Kohanim Gadolim? Omar, Ahusaba, Mipirke de Rav Shmueli. A certain old man said, I heard in a drasha that Rav had given in public that indeed it's not considered to be a chinam. It's not kilalat chinam. It's not for no purpose, because the fact is that in a sense, the Kohen Gadol is actually to blame for the fact that these people are in Galut. And therefore, they are cursing them or praying for their death justifiably. Had they been properly responsible for their generation, that such things should not occur as a murder like this, they wouldn't have died. Igor Amatni, others who learned that the reason that the mothers would go around to give these gifts to the murderers is Kadesh Yitparlua B'nehem Shalu Yamut. It's not in order that they shouldn't pray that they would die, but rather that they should pray that they won't die. And this version then reads like this. In other words, the Gemara's Medakdik, you're telling you only because time of the Matzah, only because these people pray for them. But had they not prayed for them, alone Matzah, might they? If not for that, the Kohanim would have died. My Havili Lamevet. I mean, that seems crazy. Why would they, in some way, be held responsible and need the prayers of these people? And here, I mean, the Gemara now points out the way that it seems to violate
the way that people look at morality. I mean, the way they put this in a popular saying in Bavel is Tuvia Chata Vezigut Minget. You know, one guy does the sin, and somebody else is given the punishment for it. Does that make sense? Or no, it's just all the way that... There was a saying they used to have based on a story in the Gemara. Somebody reports the other guy doing wrong, and then the guy who reports him is the one that gets beaten. Or Hatamar min Eretz Yisrael, they say, Shchem Nasiv, Umav Gai Gazir. This is like the story of Shchem. He has all the fun, and he gets married, and he plays around with Dina. And, you know, Mr. Joe Schmo, meaning all the people in the town, they're the ones that have to get circumcised and have all the pain. Does that make sense? Omar Usaba, and here too, in this version, this particular old man said, and we know in some place that Usaba is a reference to Eliyahu Hanavi, Mipirkei the Rav Ashmielis, in this case, of course, it's therefore unlikely, I heard in Rava's Drasha that the Kohanim Gedolim are responsible, Shahaya Alayim Levakesh Rachamim Adaran Velo Bikshu. And there's also a Maisa that the Gemara brings now to prove that a person is held responsible for not praying and caring enough about someone else. There was a guy who was attacked by a lion and killed and eaten. And this took place within a distance of like 12 kilometers from where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lived. And like amazingly, because of that, Eliyahu HaNavi refused to deal with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and wouldn't talk to him. He wouldn't deal with him for 3 days because he held him to be responsible. What kind of person are you? Going to hang around with a guy that somebody could be killed by an animal in your area? Even though we learned before that kein kilalat chinam lo tavo, that's dafka, a klola that comes from a regular person. But if it comes from a talmid chacham, then even if it was unjustified, it would still happen. Minolam, where do we see this? From Achitofa. Because the story over there was at the time, Bishash Karad Avei Chitin, David was digging the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash. He did whatever he could do. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you can't build the Beit HaMikdash. But he did whatever he could do, collecting the money, setting aside the materials, building the foundations. So there he was digging, and the extended mice, we don't serve it, but Lamaisa, he found this rock that said, don't touch. And of course, he touched. And what happened is, it turned out it was the rock that was holding back the Tahom, Kofa Tahoma. And so the water table started to rise. It was by Lamishpat Tahoma. It was going to now flood the whole world. Amar, so David asked everyone that was there, Amar Lamikhtav Shem HaChaspa, is it mutter to write the Shem HaShem on a piece of broken a shard of pottery, and that way I'll throw it into the tone, Mishti B'Tahoma, the Lake Vaduchte, and that way they'll have to accept the boundaries that were given to them by Kadosh Baruch. V'Leket Amalei, meaning nobody ever said a word. Now, David, who was Cheshish, that someone knew, so he said, Amar Kola Yodea Davazev Enu Omo, somebody knows this and doesn't tell me, Yechanek Begruno, he should choke to death. So Achitofel was there, and he told him, so he says, you know, there's a kavachomer of mala asot, shalom ben ish lishtom rato rashmi shlichta b'kdoshay mechalamayim. If in order just to bring peace between one man and his wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we should wipe the Shem HaShem off into water. So in this case, it's to make shalom between kol olam kulay with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it shouldn't be wiped out. Lo kol shekein, that it would be mutter to do it. Or mala ishari. So he tells David to mutter. So katav shem achaspa. David indeed does that. He writes the shem on a shard. Shari atom and throws it into the tahom and nachat v'kamadach aduchte. And it stops. And even though the maisa, Achitofel, had been mekayim the condition, as David said, only if a guy knows it doesn't tell me. Over here Achitofel did tell him. And I mean, if ein lecha, you would think, a greater al-chinam than that. I mean, is there, it's even al-tanai. There's mekayim the tanai. And nonetheless, what happens to him in the end? He really does die by choking to death. Ktiv, the Achitofel saw that in the merit of Shalom they weren't listening to him. He realized the end was near. He gets up, rides his donkey to his own town, and leaves his last will and testament with his kids. He chokes to death. He commits suicide. The point is that in the end, it was actually Mekuyam. Omar Rabbi Abba, Kilolat Chacham Afila Tanai. When a Chacham gives a klola, even when he makes that klola dependent on the condition, he ba. Nonetheless, he could be Mekuyam the Tanai. It's still going to happen. Minolan. Another Makor for this is from Eli. The Karmala Eli Shmuel. Eli tells Shmuel Koya Asel Chaloyim V'Chol Yosef that God should do the same thing to you that happened to me, that your children shouldn't follow in your ways, if you don't tell me over every last bit of the horrible things that were said to you about me. And even though Shmuel was careful to tell him every last piece, nonetheless, it says horribly about Shmuel, V'lo alchu banav v'drachav, v'ayitu achrei abatza, v'ayikru shochad, v'ayatu mishpat. Just as had been told to Eli himself. Now, it's interesting that Lamaisa, the original story, is also a klola al tanai, and yet we bring it separately as kilolat chinam. So the Ramban learns that Lamaisa, it seems from the Gemara, that at the time that the klola was given, Achitofel had not worked out that kal v'chomer. If he hadn't worked it out, so it was more than just a klola al tanai. It was a klola that was completely al chinam. So that what we want to bring is, he's bringing two different things. There was an inyan of klola chinam, and then there's a klola which is beferish, defined by a tanai where you keep the tanai. So each of these has elements that the other doesn't have, and so the Gemara separates it out. Omer Viramarav Nidui al Tanai, someone who was given Nidui on a condition. And Lamaisi went ahead and he fulfilled the condition so that the Nidui shouldn't be chal. Nonetheless, Tzarich Hafara, he needs to get a Hatar of his Nidui. Minolan, where do we see this? From Yehuda. Where Yehuda said, we see that he says to Yaakov Avinu, Dechtiv, Imlo Aveitiv Elecha, if I don't bring Binyamin back, so then V'chatati Lecha Kol HaYamim, meaning that I should be in a state of Nidui. Even though he does end up returning Binyamin to Yaakov, nonetheless, we see, as we'll see later, that the Nidui remained until it was taken off. Here's where we see it from. Why is it that the pasuk that mentioned to Yehuda is connected to Reuven? What do you mean, vizot? And this too is to Yehuda. So you see from here that there was a problem, namely, that kolotan 40 shana shayisro bamidbar. The entire time that Klal Yisrael were going through the midbar, atzmotav shiuda yume gugalim ba'aron, his bones were ki'ilu bouncing about, and were not in the order that they were meant to be in his coffin. Hatshamad Moshe, ubikesh alav rachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu came along and was mevakesh rachamim when he said v'zot liyuda. So he said to him, Ribono shel olam. Miga Ramlu Ruuvain. We just said Yechi Ruuvain. But who was the one who caused Ruuvain to be moda on what he did wrong when he took over the bed of Bilha? So who did that? Who did that? Yehuda. Yehuda, he realized that. Yehuda admitted what he had done with Tamar. And because of that, Ruuvain said, the best thing to do is to do Teshuvah. So on that, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yechi Ruvain v'zot Yehuda, that schus should be a made for Yehuda. So what do we see immediately? We see afterwards that Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. Apparently, there was a response. V'al ivrei l'shafa. Now all of his Evorim went back to the place that they were supposed to be. So his remains became whole. But nonetheless, la'vikomaya le'le mitifta d'rekiya. They would not allow Yehuda into the great yeshiva in the sky. Until Moshe Rabbeinu continued to say Ve'ela Motivienu, and then they let him in. And nonetheless, Lavek Yadu Lemishka Lemitrach Lemshmaita Bahadir Rabbana. He wasn't able to fight his way through, even though he was in the yeshiva, until Moshe continued on to say Yadav Ravlo, give him the power to win his wars. But nonetheless, Lavek Yadu the Furuki Kushya, he was unable to answer when he was attacked by others, until Moshe was responding on him. Ve'ezer Mitzarav Tihia, be now his help from his enemies. The Tosfos points out that it's clear that Reuven was doing teshuva before, because it says that when it comes when he became back, Vayashav Ruvain al Abor, he was being Yoshev Betainis from in Beit Aviv on this Maaseh of Bilhah. And then we saw that the Medrash says that he was Yoshev Betanito of Vesako the whole time while HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making the plans for bringing forth Mashiach from this whole Maaseh. So Tosfos answers that even though he was Isaac Betshuva, but he wasn't made a Berabim until later after the Maaseh of Yehuda. Asks the Gemara, Iboil, when it says over here that these Kohanim are the ones that in their death allow the Rotzeach to return to his Achuza, does that mean b'mitat kulam u'chuzer dimo b'mitat echad miyam? So is it saying when all of those Kohanim die, so then they're freed? Or does it mean that even if just one of them dies, that's sufficient to allow him to go back? Toshma, let's see from the Mishnah later, where it says, Nigmar dino, below Kohen Gadol, that if somebody's din, at the time that the Beis Din paskened, it just happened to be at that time there was no Kohen Gadol, the other Kohen had died, and they had to point to anybody else, so then there's no way for him to ever get out of his Yer Miklat. Now, the question is, if any of the above, in their death, would be matir, so then im ita, if the halacha is that way, so the had a bit of hanach, so why couldn't he go back, even though there's no Kohen Gadol, and go back because of the death of the Meshur Mechama, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or he can go back with the death of a Kohen Gadol that was a Mashiach Shaover. Obviously, the Mishnah could be referring to a case where we don't have any of those. Bidoleka. So neither did he have a Kohen Gadol, nor was there a Kohen Gadol. I mean, that's not such an unreasonable thing to say that when there was no Kohen Gadol, there was also no Kohen Gadol that had been a Mashiach Shaover. By the way, when it says a Mashiach Shaover, here it doesn't necessarily mean only the Mashiach. Obviously, the Sagan could also be a Merubah Begadim Shaavar. Im Mishinigmar Dino Meit Kohen Gadol Harezeinu Golek. Continues the Halakha Mishnah. If the person had just been completed and found Chayev in Galut, and at that moment the Kohen Gadol dies, that's already sufficient. He does not need to actually be. He's now not Golek in the first place. He doesn't need to be in the Ir Miklat for the death of the Kohen Gadol to conclude his kapara. But imat shalo nigbar dino, made Kohen Gadol. If it was before the Gebar Din, when they said to him, you're chayef to be gola, the Kohen Gadol died, and then they appoint another Kohen Gadol in his place, uminu acher tachtav, and then liacher mikin nigbar dino, and then they pasken on him that you're chayef to go into galut, then the halacha is that indeed he goes out. That's not the equivalent of the case that we had when there's no Kohen Gadol. Because then, Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol, if, however, the time of the Gemar Din, there was no Kohen Gadol to link to that Gemar Din, or for that matter, if someone was Horeg, the Kohen Gadol, or he had actually murdered the Kohen Gadol, or for that matter, the one who's going into Galut is the Kohen Gadol, it was the Kohen Gadol Sharag. So over there, Eino Yotze Misham La'olam, there is no way to be Yotze from the Ir Miklat. Ve'eino Yotze, lo la'edot mitzvah, v'lo la'edot mamon, v'lo la'edot nefashot. The individual now who is in the Ir Miklat does not go out for any purposes, even if it were be to testify for the new moon, to testify about money that was due for someone, to testify about something that was involved in a capital case. For that matter, Afil Yisrael Tzrichim Lo, even though Klal Yisrael needed this guy as someone as important as Afilu Sar Tzva Yisrael Kiyoav Ben Tzruya, even had he been the general of all of Yisrael, like Yoav Ben Tzruya himself, who was the Sar Tzva of David, and Shlomo, because the reason, of course, we're bringing this is because Yoav indeed did try to save himself through Miklat. But we'll talk about that at the Gemara. Nonetheless, it wouldn't help. He's not Yotzim Bisham, and Yotzim Bisham La'olam, unless the Kohen Gadol dies. Shenema Asher Nas Shama. Shama means Shamtei Tirato, Shamtei Mitato. In the event that he's not Yotzim, then that is where he dies. And Shamtei Kvurato, and that is where he should be buried. Now we're going to see more about the issue of burial in the Gemara. Kishem Sha'ir Koletet, in the same way that the city is able to protect him from the Goel Adam, who is prohibited from acting against him.
Kach tichuma, so too does the entire tchum around the city of 2,000 amot. All around him is kolet. Rotzech shiatzach utzutchum. If a murderer leaves town and goes outside of the tchum, then mitzaogo el adam, if the goel adam finds him when he goes out, the goel adam is anybody that would be in the seder of the Yerusha, of the one who is murdered, in order of that seder, he becomes the goel adam. And then Rabbi Yosef Gleilomber, mitzvah biyad goel adam. It's a mitzvah for the goel adam to kill this guy. Ureshut biyad kol adam. And it's mutter for anyone else to kill him. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, ureshut biyad goel adam. No, it's not a mitzvah for the goel adam. It's just that he's able and allowed to kill him and will not be nidon on him. But if anybody else acts against him, kol adam or chayavin alav. If somebody else would kill him, they would actually be chayav mitzvah. And again, we'll see the details of the machloket in the Gemara. All right, so now we read in the Mishnah that if the Kohen Gadol dies after the Gemara Din, you don't even send him into Galut. It's as if he got his kapora at that point. My time, huh? I mean, is it the chiyav Galut? How could he be mitchaper for the Galut without the Galut? Omer Abaye, we learn it from a Kavachomer. Uma misha galak kvar yatzach shav. Somebody was already in Galut, goes out through the death of the Kohen Gadol. So a Kal Vachomer, Misha lo galah, en adin shelo yigleh. Certainly someone who hasn't even gotten there, it's always easier to prevent an event from happening, so certainly should not go into Galut. Says the Gemara, maybe, I mean, you could say just the opposite. Dilma hai de galay chaperle. The fact that he had been in Galut gave him the kapara. But over here, hai de lo galah, if he never went into Galut, lo, he's not going to be mechupar. So he said, well, now wait a minute. Obviously, the kapara is not the actual galut. Midi galut ko mechapra. Midat kohen lo mechapra. The only thing that's really mechapra is the death of the Kohen Gadol. That was mechapra on him. So if lemaisa could be mechapra on him, so then it becomes a kal vachomer. It's easier to prevent him from going out into galut. Imad shelo nigmar dino. And if he dies before, and then we appoint another, then the other is the one in whose death he would go back. Minan Emile, how do we know that it goes according to the one who is Manui at the time of the Gemara Din? Omer of Canada, Omar Krat says, V'yoshav bo, ad bota kohen gadol asher mashach oto b'shemen ha-kodesh. Until the death of the Kohen Gadol, who had been anointed with the holy oil. Now the question is, when it says asher mashach oto, it's obviously, I mean, who's the antecedent to the pronoun? The one who he had anointed. V'chi hu moshcho, what do you mean, he anointed him? Ella, what it must mean is the one that is anointed at the time that it's relevant to him. Ella zesh nimshach b'yamav. So it's the man who was anointed to be the Kohen at the time that he was destined to be in the Irmiklat. As to Gemara, my Havile Lamevan, I mean, in this case, the guy was appointed Kohen Gadol after the other person already had killed. So Bishleibe, you'd say that it's dependent on the Kohen Gadol. I understand if we define that Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol at the time of the murder. But for God's sake, I mean, the guy wasn't even the Kohen Gadol at that time. So how do you explain that? Answers the Gemara, because Hayala Levakesh Rachamim Shigmar Din Olaschut. But he was the Kohen Gadol at the time of the Gemara Din. And he could have prayed that this guy would be found innocent, and he wouldn't have to go into Galut at all, v'lobikesh, and he did not properly pray to save him. So therefore, there is a responsibility on his part. And obviously, he can't pray that Bezalel should make a mistake, but he could have nonetheless prayed that maybe there should be a unanimous din, that everybody should feel he needs to go into Galut, in which case, whenever we deal with the Dinei Nefashot, unanimity in itself is a reason not to carry out the din, because then we consider there to be not sufficient insight by anybody who wanted it the other way. And then that, of course, that would be great. So either way, he could be Miss Powell. The guy could have been saved, and it wouldn't have involved any mistake on the part of the bit. From Rabbi and Akhtina, we have a Mesora that Nigmar Dino Vamet Melechina Natzpotav L'sha. If a murderer had been Nigmar Dina, the court said, you're chayav to go into Galut, before we got him there, he actually dies, then we bring his remains to the Irmiklat. Dechtiv lashuv lashevet be'eretz ad mot ha-kohen.
What does it mean when it says Oshevet Bar? It's to dwell in the land. Nobody dwells in the land unless he's a cave dweller, unless he's dead. So this is a remez that if he had never been there, he's nikbar. Anyway, there, Tana. Mate, if the murderer dies, before the Kohen Gadol dies, and they bury him there, the din is that after the death of the Kohen Gadol, we then bring his remains to his family's plot. What do you mean when you say Yeshuv ela Eretz? Ezo yeshiva shi be'eretz achuzato? Where is it that a person dwells in the land of his achiza? Have omer zukvura. Nigmar dino. Okay, now we paskin, and suppose something happens to the Kohen Gadol, which is nifsa, not that he dies. So v'nase kohen ben grusha ben chalutza. We now have witnesses. This Kohen Gadol is pasul. So he's a cholo. What's the halacha over there? Pligiv ha'revayim rav Yitzchak nafka. This is a machlok eschadim meta kuhuna. It's as if the Kohen Gadol died, because the kuhuna died. The kuhuna of that Kohen Gadol died to this testimony. And that's the same thing. And now it's able to be martyrim. V'chad omer, the other one says, no, on the contrary. What it means is there never was a Kohen Gadol. So it's batla kuhuna. And therefore he has to stay there, just as if it was nigmar dino, without a Kohen Gadol. And he'll never be able to get out. So lema b'plukta Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua kamifluge, should we say that this machloket here is it, in fact, between Rambam and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, is dependent on the following machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah? Titzan, hayahu amedu makriva gabeya mizbeach. If a kohen is now standing on the mizbeach, and he's in the middle of bringing the korbanos, v'nodashu ben grusha v'chalutza, at that moment, testimony arrives that he's posel for the kuhuna. Rabbi Eliezer melkol korbanot shikriv psulim. So Rabbi Eliezer says anything that he had ever brought up until that date is posel. And if it's still relevant, would need to be rebrought. And Rabbi Yeshua is makshir anything up until that moment that he had brought. So apparently, if you hold that the kahuna died, means it's as if it died right now. So he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that up until this very moment, the kahuna was alive. Whereas Manyama Batla is saying that retroactively we discovered there never was a Kohen Gadol. So in this case, it would be the same thing. He would be saying Batla. It was like Rabbi Eliezer, that we now find out that all the prior karbanis are also nifsalim. Says the Gemara, no. It could be that Alibid Rabbi Eliezer Kulam lo plige. It's absolutely clear that, according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, for sure, but lakuna, there's no way to say otherwise. I mean, how could all the karbanis be possible? Ki plige the machlokis over here in Rabbi and Rabbi Yitzchak is dafka Alibid Rabbi Yeshua, who says that the karbanis are kosher. That's the simple explanation of Yoshua. Up until this time, he was a Kohen, and suddenly now he becomes a Kohen, a non-Kohen, a Chol. But Mandiomer Batla, the Mandiomer who says that the Kuna is Batla, nonetheless can read that into Rabbi Yeshua, because what he's saying is Atkan, Lokam Rabbi Yeshua Atan. It's only there that we say that he was already mark of the Korbanos that it's kosher. Tichtiv Borech Hashem Chelo Ufa Yadav Tirtzeh. Which means chelo afilu chalalim shabo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless the pulat yadayim, meaning the korbanis that were brought by chalalim. So that's a new din. Nothing to do with whether batla kuhuna or not. Aval hach, when you're talking about here by Golis, there's no such ribui. And there afilu Rabbi Yeshua would be made at, that we go back retroactively to be mevatel to the kuhuna gedolah. It turns out he was never a kohen gadol.